This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
So great to have as our guest today, Dr. Yuri Maltsev. Yuri is professor of economics at Carthage College, but more to the point of what I want to talk to him about today is his experience as an economist in the Soviet Union. Yuri, you actually lived under socialism, the real deal is versus even what Mr. Obama might be proposing. And I've been so struck by every time you've talked about life under the Soviet Union, because of course you are an Austrian economist, you understand the laws of economics, and you looked at the situation in the USSR with a very fine and a practiced and a intelligent eye. I always remember, just to take one of many topics we could discuss, your great writings about medical care in the Soviet Union and the central plan, and how having a central plan in something like Medicare, and I think, of course, that this is an appropriate discussion these days in America, what sort of effect that has on medical care when you have a Gosplan for healthcare.
Absolutely right. It is for me, it's unbelievable, because Russians have they have a pretty sad proverb or saying that the only lesson of history is it does not teach us anything. And that's exactly what's happening. This deadly experiment called socialism was staged on that poor people, on people in China, people in Eastern Europe, imposed on them. Many were murdered. Tens of millions. In Russia alone, 45 million perished. And we do not learn this lesson. It's kind of like socialism failed, so glory to socialism. Let's try it again. Like that was not enough. Not enough people murdered for the sake of this deadly utopia, and I absolutely agree that the threat right now United States is facing is that the president-elect I think he believes in socialized medicine, and socialized medicine in the United States would be practically nationalization of the largest industry in the country. This industry is already 18% of our gross domestic product. And can you imagine if you have so much socialism, we just socialized banking industry, and now we will have socialized healthcare, then we will face real socialist nightmare, I think.
Yuri, I remember one of the points you made when you have a central plan, and it's telling every hospital, every doctor exactly what to do, that the central plan even had plans for morbidity and mortality for specific hospitals. And you mentioned what a hospital would do if they were afraid of breaking the plan and having more deaths in the hospital than the plan allowed.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was in one of these hospitals going through my medical checkup. And then for medical checkup, they kept me for 21 days. Why so? Because the Gosplan came with a new target that the hospital should be assessed, the success or failure of the hospital, by the amount of deaths happening in the hospital, by the level of mortality in the hospital. So immediately, even the most dyslexic hospital administrators decided to get rid of anyone who is sick, because then you fill the hospital with healthy people like myself, and then you fulfill the plan, you don't have mortality. So that's the imbecility of central planning, is that almost every indicator, one single indicator, cannot reflect the complexity of life. Life is too sophisticated to be planned with one or sometimes two indicators. And that's exactly what Soviet plan is trying to do, to put target on everything.
I got a kick, if that's the word, last summer when we were hearing all about the terrible medical care at the very, very expensive Walter Reed Hospital, where the cost per patient is just off the chart, and we were hearing, oh, how terrible it was, by the same people who, of course, would like socialized medicine, yet Walter Reed is socialized medicine. It's 100% government medicine, 100% single payer. We already have that with the veterans hospitals and with the Indian Health Service and the public health service hospitals, already far too large a socialist segment in American healthcare, and yet you're right, they want to increase it.
Absolutely. Today, government is already paying for 60% of health services, 60%. And then the government screwed up this industry real well. However, free market, non-existent, it's just the same thing as happened with Fed, what happened with this credit crunch, that the government screwed up everything, and now All the fingers are pointed at the free market. That free market, which was non-existent there, was some kind of invisible hand of Adam Smith, came and screwed up our health care. Nothing like that. It's already 60% of the government. It's something which is called monopsony, when there's a monopoly with a single buyer. And sure enough, I mean, the government is the last thing you can expect from government is compassion or any kind of human attitude towards subjects. Because of that, definitely government-provided health care is in most cases is so much inferior to market ones that you can see so many Canadians, so many others are flocking into the United States, coming to places like Mayo Clinic, coming to Ohio hospitals because they are sick and tired of their socialized health care. In the Soviet Union alone, 83% of all AIDS victims, of people who were HIV positive, got their virus from the dirty needles and tainted blood in the state-run hospitals.
Yuri, how did you become a libertarian? How did you get interested in Austrian economics? You're growing up in a communist society in the Soviet Union. You're interested in how the world works, so you're interested in economics. But what steps brought you to your views?
Well, I would say that the first thing, that I was born in a family. I was lucky enough to be born in a family who could see through all this propaganda, who could brush away all this brainwashing. Why? Because my grandfather was shot under Stalin. He was a very famous architect in Sochi, in resort, and he built some beautiful, beautiful buildings there, like Opera House, and as well as embankment. It's just beautiful pieces of architecture. And he was shot in 1937, being accused of being a Japanese spy. And all the time he was repeating on and on that he never even saw a Japanese person in his life. So my father's life was screwed up because of that. And my mother, she's from Jewish family, and so Jews also, there was a lot of anti-Semitism in the Soviet Union. Socialism leads to rampant discrimination against any kind of minorities, and many people don't realize that if you don't have a market, then minorities would be prosecuted in the most ferocious way. And so that's why since my childhood, I kind of had an idea that we are not living in a perfect society. But then I was already a student in the university, and I would say I was kind of like a mild socialist. I thought there is something in socialism which is attractive. However, the socialism in the Soviet Union is perverted. I thought it's kind of a Stalinist socialism. And then I got a book just to read for one night, and that was Road to Serfdom by Hayek. And I read this book, and it kind of was like development of a film. Everything which I was thinking of became crystal clear to me. And I realized that mild socialism is also not an answer, that mild socialism inevitably would lead to Stalinist socialism, that if you go on this slippery slope, then even with the most humanistic ideas, with the most compassion, with whatnot, energize a lot of young people like our president-elect did, but then you end up in the same communist slavery as people in communist China, communist Cuba, communist Soviet Union, because socialism requires more and more and more government, more and more and more power over people's choices.
Yuri, what got you into economics? I mean, you studied at the University of Marxism-Leninism, Moscow State University, yet you came out like you are.
I was very much, I'm kind of black sheep in the family because all my family are medical people and all generations of doctors. And so everybody hoped that I would be a doctor. But I was very interested in what's going on around. And moreover, at that time, and nobody believed me, I thought that social science is way more sophisticated than exact sciences. More sophisticated, and because it's such a fabric of different ideas, such a fabric of different needs and people. So because of that, I was very interested in social science, and at first I was thinking of becoming a historian, and my first major in Moscow State University was history. But then after reading Hayek, I went to the dean's office and changed my major to history of economic thought and economic history, because with this kind of major, I could read more literature like Hayek. And then the whole world opened before me, because this kind of literature in the Soviet Union, reading of Hayek was pretty dangerous, because if I would be caught red-handed or whatever reading Hayek, I would get automatically 6 years of jail. And the person who gave me this book, and it was Samizdat book, so-called, an underground printing house, and a very, very blind copy, difficult to read, but he would get 12 years for dissemination of anti-Soviet slander, as they would say. If person would be caught reading von Mises or reading Solzhenitsyn, then this person would get 6 years, but the person who provided them with this poison, they would get 12 years of jail. And they were pretty serious about that. But then when I switched my major to history of economic thought and economic history, then I got an access, because what the Soviets were doing, and my academic advisor, he called kind of our discipline as a critique of vulgar bourgeois political economy. So we were kind of specialists in poisonous Western influence, but because of that we had an access to that. So I could go to Lenin's library in downtown Moscow. It's like Library of Congress there. To tell the truth, I was just last week in Washington, D.C., went to Library of Congress, and sure enough, now it is the same difficulties to get to the Library of Congress as to Lenin's library in Moscow. I remember, say, when I came to the United States 18 years ago, I could walk into the Library of Congress and read, and nobody would ask me anything. Now I'm going there. I'm going through metal detectors. Then I'm going to the special registration office, and I need to prove that I'm going there for research purposes. For research purposes. I don't know what do they mean by research purposes. Well, it's easy if you're teaching, so they still give you this kind of thing. But if you are just a freelance or just an interested citizen who is actually paying with their taxes for this Library of Congress. But in Lenin's library in Moscow, they had the same thing. It was very difficult to get in, very difficult to get in. So I had a letter from a dean of my college saying that Comrade Maltsev is engaged in a critique of bourgeois, vulgar political economy and should have an access to this political economy writings. And so that over there already I was reading in economics anything I could. However, over there, I was also warned, and I signed a paper that I would never tell anybody what I read. So now, fortunately, I'm telling all my students what I read in Lenin's library in Moscow.
Yuri Maltsev, we sure are glad that you came over here. You've been such an influential teacher on so many students. We always love having you come to the Mises University programs and our other scholarly programs. I want to advise everybody to take a look at your archive at Mises.org. Take a look at your articles at LouRockwell.com. Yuri is also the editor of the book Requiem for Marx. And Dr. Maltsev, thanks for having constructed that requiem.
Oh, thank you so much, because I would say that Mises Institute would be one very good single reason to defect to the United States from anywhere.
Yuri, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.